بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the classical book by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, The Correct Response to Those Who Altered the Religion of Jesus. And we are still with Shaykh al-Islam's, rahimahullah, discussion on the matter of that the revelation of the verses regarding the fighting of the mushriks does not negate, did not negate the verses concerning the proclamation and giving da'wah to them. And he was giving, as you may remember, many of the proofs regarding this. And from the on the continuity of this subject, is that he discussed the following matters. He said that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established proofs against the kuffar even after the revelation of the verses concerning the fighting, in order to proclaim the message of Allah and to establish the proof. And this stands, the fact that he argued with the people of the book and the pagans to proclaim the message, stands as a proof that the verses concerning the fighting did not abrogate the proclamation of da'wah by establishing the proof and giving the evidences and calling them to Allah. So from this he asserted that the revelation of the verses of fighting does not abrogate the command to argue and to proclaim the da'wah, and that the saying by some that the verse of the sword abrogates the verses of da'wah to the kafir, he is to be asked the following question: what do you mean by the verse of the sword? Do you mean a particular verse, or do you mean every verse containing the command or having the command of jihad? Then if he intends the first, meaning if he says, well, it means that the verse of the sword abrogates the da'wah verses or argumentation, then the answer is to come from two angles. That the verses concerning jihad are many, and therefore it is not permissible to particularize some of them by choosing, for example, the ayah to save the verse of the sword. And if he says that what is intended is the command in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 5, فَإِذَا انْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ, then when the sacred months, the 1st, 7th, 11th and 12th months have passed, then kill the mushriks, the disbelievers, wherever you find them, and capture them and besiege them and prepare for them each and every ambush. If he says that I intend this particular verse, the response will be, this is regarding fighting the mushriks. And then afterwards Allah mentioned the fighting regarding the people of the book in the same chapter, verse 29. قاتلوا الذين لا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ولا يحرمون ما حرم الله ورسوله ولا يدينون دين الحق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب حتى يعطوا الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون. Fight against those who believe not in Allah nor in the last day nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger, and those who acknowledge not the religion of the truth, Islam, among the people of the scriptures, until they pay the jizya, the tax, with full submission and feel themselves subdued. So why did you choose, then we say, why did you choose 9-5? You particularized it to 9-5, when this is also a command to fight, but now fighting the people of the book, while 9-5 is fighting the mushriks. Then if he says, well, I mean every ayah concerning jihad, then it abrogates the proclamation and proclamates the argumentation. Then the answer is to say that the jihad has been ordained gradually, on stages. And from that, for example, the first was the permit. The verse of the permit in Surah Al-Hajj 22:39. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Permission to fight is given to those believers against the disbelievers who are fighting them, and because they, the believers, have been wrong, and surely Allah is able to give them victory. More than one from the scholars have mentioned that this verse is the first verse concerning the jihad. Then after that, the verses on its obligation were revealed, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:16. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ. Jihad, fighting, is ordained for you. You see that? But they were not commanded to fight those who sought peace with the Muslims. So therefore, your argument to say that every ayah of jihad abrogates the proclamation and abrogates the da'wah verses is futile. Because you know the jihad had been established in stages. And there were, under each stage, there were those who had treaties with the Muslims, and there was no fight of them. Also those whom sought truce with the Muslims, they were not commanded to fight them. Until the verses in Bara'ah were revealed, in which the command to end all the covenants with the mushriks and to fight the mushriks, and then the command to fight the people of the book if they don't accept Islam and they give the jizya and they pay the tax. So therefore, if the obligation of jihad to the warriors who initiate the fighting, look at this, if this does not negate the mujadala, proclamation and argumentation for da'wah, then by all means, the other stages of jihad do not. I repeat, if the obligation of the jihad to fight the warrior, those who initiate the fighting with the Muslims, if that does not negate the argumentation and so the proclamation of giving da'wah to them, then by all means, the other commands regarding the jihad at different stages, by all means, they would not stand in opposition to the proclamation and to the argumentation with the disbelievers. Next to say is that the abrogated is limiting the matter to argumentation. Because the Prophet ﷺ in the beginning was commanded to have jihad with the disbelievers by his tongue, not by his hands. inviting them, admonishing them, arguing with them with that which is good, and then making jihad with the Quran, a great jihad with the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding this in Surah Al-Furqan 25:51-52, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَبَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ نَذِيرًا فَلَا تُطْعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And had we willed, we would have raised a warner in every town. So obey not the disbelievers, but strive against them by preaching with the utmost endeavor with it, meaning the Quran. And he was also commanded to not initiate fighting with them, because he wasn't able, and the Muslims were weak then. Then after that, when he migrated to Medina and he had helpers, he was given the permit for jihad. Then afterwards, when they became even stronger, fighting became ordained upon them. However, it was not ordained upon them to fight those who had made peace with the Muslims. Why? Because the Muslims were not able to fight all of the kafirs. Then afterwards, with the opening of Mecca, the delegations of the Arabs came accepting Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded him fighting all the kafirs, except those who had a temporary covenant. And then he commanded him to abolish all the absolute covenants. So, the strife with the tongue continued to be legal from the beginning to the end. And if Allah had given him the permit and legalized for him the jihad by the hand, then by the tongue takes precedence. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, جَاهِدُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Fight the mushriks by your hands, by your tongues, and by your wealth. This is in Abi Dawud, in the book of Jihad. From the hadith of Anas. But the wording in Abi Dawud is, fight the mushriks by your wealth, by yourselves, and by your tongues. And the Prophet ﷺ used to assign for the a pulpit for Hassan bin Thabit, the companion, the poet, in his masjid, to strive against the mushriks by his tongues with great poetry. And this occurred after the revelation of the verses of fighting. And which is a greater in benefit? The establishment of the proofs on the validity of Islam and futility of the proofs of the disbelievers from the mushriks and the people of the book, or the strive against them by the tongue, which is more powerful, which is more beneficial, which one? Question. Certainly the establishment by the evidences and the proofs far exceeds the benefit of poetry. The criticism of the mushriks and the strife by poetry. You understand? So if the poetry of Hassan and the strife by his poetry took place even after the revelation of the verses of fighting, then what? Then the da'wah and establishing the proofs and the evidences on the validity of Islam and the proclamation of this, what? By all means, continues to exist, and it is more beneficial, isn't it? You see the argument? The sixth matter, it is to be known, or it is known, that the fighting was legalized because of necessity, due to necessity. Had people believed with proofs and evidences, then there would have been no need for fighting. So, making clear the signs of Islam and its evidences and its proof is an absolute obligation in origin. However, jihad is legalized as a necessity, for necessity. So how could it therefore be what? How could it stand to prevent from what? The proclamation and the establishment of the proof, if the proclamation and the establishment of the proof is the absolute obligation in principle and in origin, while the jihad is legalized when it is necessity. You understand the argument? You understand? Jihad is legalized due to necessity. And if people would believe based on proofs and signs and evidences, then there will be no need for fighting. So therefore, proclaiming the verses and the signs and the proofs is an absolute obligation in origin, while jihad is legalized due to necessity. So how could it therefore be something, meaning jihad, to stand, to prevent that which is what? Absolute obligation in origin, which is giving the da'wah, establishing the signs and the proofs. Is it now clear to you? So this would argue against what? Against the argument that since the verses of jihad were revealed, then this means what? Abrogation of da'wah. This is the whole issue which he is now studying and refuting this argument. Is that clear, this sixth point now, regarding to this issue? Regarding this issue. Clear now? Now, if someone says, well, Islam, the signs of Islam now is apparent, so there is no need to make these signs apparent and so forth. What is needed is the sword. You see, some say that if someone says the signs of Islam and its proofs and, you know, is established, so there is no need except for what? Except for the safe, for the jihad, meaning for the fighting. Then in response, it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to make his deen prevailing over all religions by way of knowledge and clarity, as well as might and power. Allah stated in Surah As-Saff, verse 9, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He, Allah, it is who has sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of the truth to make it victorious over all other religions, even though the mushriks hate it. The ulama explained this prevalence by both ways. Prevalence by way of knowledge and clarity, and by way of might and power. And now it is also known that the prevalence of Islam by way of knowledge and clarification and explanation, what occurred before its prevalence by hand and fight, isn't it? That's because the Prophet ﷺ stayed in Mecca 13 years proclaiming Islam by knowledge and clarification and signs and proofs and evidences. Upon that, the Muhajireen believed and the Ansar believed willingly without the sword because of the clarity of Islam and its evidences and of the miracles. Isn't it? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prevail by the sword afterwards. So the obligation, oh, please repeat this last sentence. Okay, we mentioned that the Islam spread and prevalence by knowledge and explanation and clarification of its signs and its proofs and evidences occurred before what? Its prevalence by the hand and the fight. For the Prophet ﷺ stayed in Mecca 13 years proclaiming Islam by knowledge and explanation and signs and proofs and evidences, which led to the belief of the Muhajireen, the immigrants, and the Ansar, the helpers, willingly, without the sword, because of what appeared to them from the truth in these signs and these verses and these proofs and miracles. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it prevail by the sword. So therefore, the obligation of this, meaning by way of the proclamation, before the obligation of that, and its benefit before its benefit. And it is known that all the time the sword is needed, in all the time, yani, it is needed. Similarly, it is needed, meaning Islam needs the knowledge and the clarification and the explanation and all of that. Yet we know that many of the kafirs were not subdued by the sword. Similarly, many of the people, you know, the signs and the evidences and the proofs of Islam was not something taken by them, but rather they criticize and insult. So the point is that both are needed. Take for example those who were subdued by the sword, many of them were hypocrites. Their jihad, striving against them with knowledge and proofs, takes precedence. So this sixth point, therefore, again, adds to the other arguments preceding, that it cannot be said that the verses concerning the fighting abrogates the establishment of Islam by way of knowledge and proofs and evidences. Is that clear? This is the summary of this point, point 6. The point 7, that fighting is against the transgressors, That is because the one who fights the Muslims are from the transgressing ones. And as to the argument and proclamation, it can be directed to either someone who may be a transgressor unjustly attacking Islam, or it could be to someone who may be seeking the truth and the truth did not reach him, or it could be to someone who may have known about some of the signs of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he had misconceptions which may oppose these signs. So he needs answers to his doubts. Or it could be given or needed by someone who needs to know about the proofs of prophethood. Then you understand now. So if fighting, which is only directed toward off the transgression by a fighter against Islam, is legalized, then the arguments and the establishment of the proof, which could be for all of these benefits, then it takes precedence. Right? We have learned now the argument and the establishment of the proof. Could be towards a transgressor against the deen. It could be towards someone who is seeking the know the truth, which did not reach him, or to someone who partially had received some of the signs of the prophethood, or someone who seeks to know of the signs of the prophethood. So you see that what the paths of argument. You understand? While it is when the case of fighting, it is to ward off the transgressor of the person who fights Islam. Is that clear? But you see the arguments and the establishing of the proofs. It is kind of multidimensional, targeting many people, depending on their status. Mujahid rahimahullah said concerning the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut 46 29 46 29 46, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, and argue not with the people of the scripture unless it be in a way that is better. And argue not with the people of the book unless it be in a way that is better. Except, intabih, watch please, be careful. Except with such of them as do wrong. Except with such of them as do wrong. He said, this refers to those who fight you and they don't give you the tax. Don't pay the tax. And in another wording he said, from them are the people who are warriors, having no covenant with the Muslims, the argument with them will be by the sword, he said. And in another narration, from Mujahid, those who give the jizya, the tax, don't say to them except that which is good. So therefore Mujahid here, as you heard now, did he make it from the abrogated verses by the verses of fighting? From the explanation that you heard, did he consider this verse abrogated by the verses of fight from what you heard now? No. You see that? And this is the saying of most of the Mufassireen. most of the mufassirin, most of the people of tafsir. And this is the preponderating opinion. Eighth point. Many of the people of the book claim that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his nation established their deen solely by the sword, not by guidance, not by knowledge, not by signs. So if they come now to us and say, let us argue this matter with you, discuss this matter with you. So imagine now we tell them then, you have no answer except the sword. Sheikh al-Islam then saying, you know, based upon the argumentation of those people who say, you know, the sword abrogated all the verses of call and arguments. You see that? Based on their argument. You see? So if they come and say to us, let us discuss, and if it is to be said to them, you have no answer except the sword, based upon the argument of those people who say that the verses of the sword abrogated the verses of arguments. You understand? Are you following? Then, this will be something that will establish their false thought and opinion regarding Islam. And this will be from the greatest evidence for them to establish for themselves the corruption of Islam and invalidity of Islam. And that it is not a religion of a messenger from Allah, but rather it is the religion of a king established by the sword. You see, this is what is entailed by this argument, which Sheikh al-Islam now is, in this eighth point, is refuting. Are you people following? Okay, then, since there was a disconnection, let me repeat this point eight. Many from the people of the book claim that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his nation established the deen by the sword, not by guidance or knowledge, and not by proofs and evidences. So, according to the argument of those who say that, you know, the verses of fighting abrogated the verses of da'wah, so if the people of the book, based on this claim of theirs that Islam is established only or was established only by the sword, if they come for discussion and arguments with us, then if it is said to them, you have no answer except the sword, then in this case, this will only establish their futile claim. And this will be from the greatest things they will use from themselves against the, what? Invalidity and corruption of Islam. And that it is not the religion of a messenger from Allah, but rather it is the religion of a king established by the sword. You see the point which Sheikh al-Islam now is making? Meaning, this opinion about the abrogation of the verses regarding arguments and guidance and proclamation by the sword plays in the hands of what? What? Entails what? Things falling in the hands of the claims, substantiating the claims of the people of the book, who say that Islam is not established except by the sword, not by guidance or knowledge or signs and evidences and proofs. You understand the point? Clear to you? Okay. This is the eighth point. The ninth point. It is known that the sword, especially the sword of the Muslims and the sword of the people of the book, is related to knowledge and proofs. While the sword of the mushriks is related to their opinions and their creeds. And the saif, the sword, is from the type of action. And the action is related to knowledge and opinion. And accordingly, clarifying the religion of Islam by knowledge and guidance, and clarifying that those who oppose it is misguidance and ignorance, is affirmation to the origin of the deen of Islam. And whenever its authenticity is apparent and the corruption of other than it is also apparent, then people are either one of two cases. Either someone to whom the truth becomes apparent and follows it, and this is the greatest objective behind sending the messengers, or someone who does not follow it. And this person then, in this case, the proof is established against him, either because he did not look into the signs of Islam, or he looked and he knew but followed his desires, or followed his desires, or was negligent. So if the proof is established against him, then in this case it will be more pleasing to Allah and to his messenger, and gives victory to the sword of Islam and humiliation to the sword of the disbelievers. So the establishment of the proof is a victory to the deen, and most just in terms of dealing with excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra 17:15, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we never punish until we have sent a messenger. And Allah stated in Surah An-Nisa 4:165, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning, in order that what? Mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. And in Surah Al-Mursalat, verses 5 and 6, فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا عُذُرًا أَوْ نُذُرًا. And by the angels that bring the revelations to the messengers to cut off all excuses or to warn. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith which came in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, مَا أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ الْعُذُرُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. None who loves best or most the excuse better than Allah. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ. For this purpose, أَرْسَلَ الرُّسُلُ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. He sent the messengers with good news and as warnings. This brings the end of these points. And in summary, this proves that the revelations in the Quran concerning the particular verses of fighting, of jihad, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not abrogate the verses concerning arguments and establishing the proofs and evidences and guidance with knowledge and clarifications and signs, contrary to the claim that the verses of the sword do abrogate the verses of da'wah based on arguments and establishing the proofs. Wallahu ta'ala ala wa alam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.